What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the New Evangelicals podcast. It is great to have you here with me. On this episode of the show, I have Will, who runs an Instagram account called Heretical Theology. Will is an atheist, but he did not start out that way. Will actually started out as a very, very devout Christian in the fundamentalist movement and then eventually progressed into more, I would say, mainstream Christian circles, and then eventually deconstructed himself out of that into atheism. So on this episode, I really just wanted Will to come on to share his story. So if you're looking for a big debate versus, the Christian versus the atheist, and me sharing a video saying Christian owns atheist, you're not going to see it here. That is just not my style. I respect Will. I appreciate his viewpoints. And yes, obviously him and I have major disagreements, which we talk about, but that doesn't mean that we can't have a respectful conversation, especially one of listening. And as the host of this podcast, my job is to bring guests to you to make you think and just give you a different perspective on life. So listen, I'm not here to tell you that the Christian faith is a sham and you should be an atheist now. You all know that I don't think that. I'm still a committed Jesus person. However, we should always be willing to listen to other sides. So that's what today is all about. That being said, quick announcement, we officially hit 1,000 downloads, which is awesome. So thank you everyone so much for downloading this podcast, for sharing it. Of course, if you can give me a review and even a little written review, that would be a humongous help. I can't express to you all how much it means to me and also how much it helps this podcast out, especially because it is so new. So don't forget to give us a like or a rating or whatever and share this episode. Of course, if you like this show, make sure you're subscribed. All right, enough of self-promotion. Here is my interview with Will. I hope you all enjoy it. I will talk to you soon. All right. Hey, Will, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the New Evangelicals podcast. It is great to have you. Thanks for making time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I know that you probably told your quote-unquote origin story, your superhero origin story several times now, but I just for the sake of like our foundational conversation, can you just give us like the big picture, where were you a couple of years ago? Where are you now? And then I want to dig into some of this.
All right. So I accepted Christ, according to my mother, when I was seven in an old school Methodist church, wooden pews, stained glass windows, cornfields all around it. No AC. That was classic, right?
Definitely.
I definitely started following Christ when I was 14 though. And during an abstinence camp, because it was promoted by a church, and that's what they do. They preach the gospel, and I had Jesus tap me on the shoulder. He's like, "Hey, are you done screwing around chasing girls? Or are you going to start chasing me?" I'm like, "All right, fantastic."
Sure.
All the word of God in my head and everything. And then, so finally after that, so I was going to this fundamentalist church and Bible preaching church. It was very, very regimental. I don't want to say militarist, but it was very regimental. And long story short, we ended up taking a trip down here to Florida to visit my brother. He goes to this mega church, and we felt called to this church. That's a huge story in and of itself. And we literally quit our jobs. I had a business, photography business. I was just starting to get repeat business from brides because I did a lot of wedding photography and graphic design work. Mm-hmm. My wife had two part-time jobs working for University of Dayton and also Sinclair there in Dayton. And we quit those, moved 1,000 miles to here in Melbourne, Florida to not even begin on staff, just to serve at this church.
Wow.
Because we knew God wanted us to. We had no jobs lined up. We had a place lined up because our parents bought a condo down here. We were renting from them. But we made that move. And a couple months later, God provided. I ended up being a pretty nice job at a tech defense company. And so after that, started asking a lot of questions. I learned how to – I basically deconstructed my fundamentalism at this church and learned how to love people. So a lot of people like to say, well, you're never truly a Christian if you're a fundamentalist. I'm like, well, there might be something to that. But there was also like 5 years where I was definitely not a fundamentalist. So I was an evangelical. But my wife started having doubts and issues for various reasons. That started freaking me out. Pretty much determined that my wife was an atheist while I was still a very hardcore believer. I just was like, I'm going to be that guy with an unbelieving wife. We're going to do this. It's going to be great.
And she'll be sanctified through me.
Well, I knew, and it was weird. Like, I didn't even really have that perspective. I'm just like, I had no expectations. I'm like, okay, this is a situation I'm in, and
right.
what happens, happens. And right, right. I'm still going to love my wife no matter what.
Yep.
But in order to support her, you know, I tried loving her as much as I could. And I had a lot of questions of my own. Hmm. I had already been doing Bible devotions every single day for the last several years. And keep in mind, like in my, I've led over 100 people to Christ. We're talking about full-grown soldiers while I was in the U.S. military. We're talking a lot of high school teenage kids when I worked at the summer camp, the abstinence camp that I will say that I was actually a camp counselor over there.
Wow.
For 4 years. You know, great people, actually, by the way, who runs that thing. Just saw them a couple weeks ago, actually.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, it was great. Going back to Florida, you know, had all these questions. I was being groomed to be a pastor. I just missed the first slot for school ministry, which was a 2.5 year program. I literally just moved there. So they're like, we don't really know this guy. So we want to give him some time, which makes sense. Right. And then the pastors are training me to get ready for the school ministry, and I didn't even apply because I was having so many questions.
Hmm.
I was still leading a lot of different, like, this is like a big church, like a church of 10,000 people. And I was still leading like Bible studies and discipleship programs. Dave Ramsey Financial Peace class.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I started a running group. Long story short, was having questions, started looking to the history of the Bible. Mm. I wanted to know who the person of Jesus was.
Mm.
And so I kind of like, who is Jesus? Like, I want to know who he was on a personal level.
Right.
And, that got me to really searching to see what biblical scholars are actually saying about him.
Mm.
And how much the Bible can actually be trusted in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me to a very deep downward spiral to a point where I believed in Jesus. I'd already deconstructed hell. I'd already deconstructed the Old Testament. Mm. Those were, and I'm using the word deconstructed before I even knew what the word deconstructed was. So it's kind of anachronistic for me to say that. Mm. It was just me and Jesus. I had no idea who Jesus was. I just knew that he was, you know, a mythical person. No, that's not the right word to use. He was a more than human person to me.
Okay.
And I was going to follow his teachings, and I believed he was in some sort of way God or a deity. And I eventually lost faith in that because I did not believe we had reason to believe that.
Hmm.
And if he wants to change my mind, you know, I've had quote unquote visions before in the past. I've heard his voice, I thought, in the past.
Yeah.
And there was many dark, lonely nights, not to get too dramatic, but very tearful nights where I was pleading for him to be as real as, to me as possible.
Hmm.
And I was met with silence.
Hmm.
So then I started looking at the probability is it more likely that these stories about Jesus were made up, not necessarily lied about, but were they made up? Right. Or is it likely that Jesus, you know, the Lord, liar, lunatic thing that C.S. Lewis likes to say, you know, or are all these legends made about him? And we're literally have this romanticized idea of who Jesus is. And that's why I can no longer call myself a Christian. And I was pretty much an atheist by that point too. I didn't even know I didn't know it. But I did become an outspoken atheist about a month later. And that all happened in 2019.
That's 1 year.
Yeah. So when I started really seeking out questions and starting to learn who the individual person Jesus was, that started all happening in January. Cause I was like, my New Year's resolution was to try to figure out who Jesus was. I want to know this person intimately.
Sure.
And actually my faith grew quite a bit in 2019. It's kind of ironic. Like the deconstruction of my faith led to my faith increasing.
Right.
Because I basically had faith in Jesus, not necessarily the Bible, not necessarily in apologetics, not necessarily in reasoning, but this, I wouldn't call it radical or reasonable. It definitely wasn't reasonable, but just this faith in this idea that I love Jesus and that also evaporated.
So just for sake of our conversation, when you say atheism, I'm kind of learning a little bit more and more as I dig into this, that just like how the term Christian can mean a lot of different things, atheism has some flexibility to it as well. How would you define atheism for you?
So atheism is a lack of a belief in a God or gods.
Okay.
Period.
Period.
That's it. I used to believe that an atheist made the assertion that a God did not exist.
Right.
I later learned that that's not the case. I think there might be some definitions out there that actually does say that, but most atheists don't actually make that claim. So like if you read Richard Dawkins, he doesn't make that claim at all.
Right.
I am a level 6 atheist. So there's that scale of theism as a, like, God absolutely certainly exists as a 1, and then God does not exist as a 7. I'm a 6.
Okay, so what would be a 7 for you?
A 7 would be, well, as soon as you assert that God does not exist, you then need to have your evidence for that claim.
Oh, okay, I see.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if you're an atheist who, in which most people are relying on reason and science,
yeah,
you, as soon as you make that statement that God does not exist, okay, cool story. Back up your claim for that statement. And it's highly, highly improbable that God exists, in my opinion.
Yes. Yes.
But I also can't prove that either.
I understand that. Who is the, one of the big names in atheism? He passed away. He does a lot of debates. Hawking. Who is it?
I'm sorry, Stephen Hawking. Hitchens.
Hitchens. He makes that. That's pretty much what he says. Is like, I'm saying that like it's improbable that God does exist, but I'm not here. The burden of proof isn't on me; it's on you. Is pretty much what he says. Mm-hmm. I've watched quite a few of his engagements and stuff. So that helps me for this conversation, because I feel like sometimes and you know this because you grew up in it, in Christian culture, you just have like this view of an atheist who's just like, we're going to destroy God. And, you know, like God definitely doesn't exist. And, you know, but really I found that a lot of my friends who are atheists are much more like, well, I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying that really, I don't see any evidence for God as existing. And therefore I'm going to say it's probable that he doesn't exist, you know? Right. So that makes a little more sense. So I get that.
And it's also kind of self-defeating if you say you want to try to kill something that you also don't think exists.
That's a good point. So let me ask you this, because you mentioned that it sounds like, and tell me if I'm wrong, of course, that one of the big threads that really started unraveling things for you was looking at the Bible and like the if the Bible was reliable, right? And this is something that I think Bart Ehrman had a similar journey, it sounds like, right? He grew up evangelical, and as he did his digging, he's like, actually, I don't think that this is, you know, maybe as legit as we think. Was that one of the main things that started unraveling, or were there other thoughts and questions that started really doing it for you?
So Ehrman was probably, he taught me about the unreliability of the Bible, because I believed that it was inerrant. And then I was like, well, maybe it's not inerrant. Maybe it's just infallible. Or at least we can get true from it. It wasn't until I learned about Ehrman that, yes, we have severe reasons why we should doubt.
Right.
Before that, though, it was actually Trump, to be honest with you. So back in 2016, so Ehrman was all in 2019. Back in 2016, when the church was foaming at the mouth over Trump, you know, not to get too political or whatever, it's like,
go ahead.
I like to say that, you know, I don't want to get political. I don't really care if you vote for Trump or not, which is a lie because I do. But it's like when he was the nominee, I'm like, well, this is going to be really interesting because the church doesn't have a candidate. So I wonder what's going to happen. And then like when they started foaming at the mouth over Trump, I'm like, what the fuck is happening to the church?
Yes.
Like as a Christian, I was thinking that, like,
totally.
I'm in the freaking twilight zone here. What is happening?
Yep.
And it was so crazy. So that's when that created a huge chasm between me and the church.
Yeah.
And so now I was at that woke liberal Christian
Marxist who, socialist, whatever.
Who actually liked the refugees and actually cared about the people fleeing, you know, from war torn countries and stuff.
Totally.
So bizarre.
You know what? I mean, it's interesting because that was also a big watershed moment for me as well. In fact, on my old podcast, I have almost every other episode is me just ranting in 2016 through 2020 about how can the church like be bowing the knee at a guy like this and supporting him. And that's honestly, that's why that was one of the main catalysts of why I launched the New Evangelicals. Like, okay, for me, it wasn't so much, you know, or maybe the direction that you took, but for me, it was like, okay, we have to rethink all of this because something is really wrong when I'm in this faith movement and thinking, guys, are we all crazy? And they're telling me that I'm the crazy one, that I'm the socialist. Right. So I understand that. So the Bible was a big one for you. And like, was that the beginning of just like, okay, so between this Trump thing and now the Bible's not reliable, that does it for me. Is that safe to say, or was there more to it?
No, there wasn't any one thing. That's the thing. It's like, okay, I would say that the unreliability of the Bible was probably the biggest and one of the first cracks in the dam. And there are thousands of cracks.
Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Go for it.
And cause there's different things I was worrying about during different stages. And
yes, that makes sense.
Cause like when I already realized that, well, I can't rely on the Bible for my faith. A lot of Christians are like, well, of course you need to rely on faith. I'm like, faith and faith. Like, oh no, not faith and faith, but like, no, faith in God and experiences. I'm like, that doesn't make much sense to me. So then I started looking into it like more philosophically. And that's when I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's when you get into the problem of pain, of suffering and evil. And, and despite what John Cooper of Skillet might say, hey, I've read a few freaking books, John. Okay. He did a podcast with Elisa Childers, and it was so cringy.
Already.
So cringe. I still freaking listen to Skillet. I'm like, John, dude, have me on your podcast. I won't be an asshole. I promise. I can talk to you about my experience. You don't have to like say all these false things about me. Anyways.
Yes.
Or not about me, the deconstructing community. And so it's like, yeah, I mean, I understood how God, can coexist with pain and suffering. I'm like, he causes good and he causes calamity. Like he does whatever he wants. That's in the Bible. Like, I get that. Like, that wasn't difficult for me. But then once the Bible was no longer my source of reasoning, I'm like, okay, well, is God benevolent? Well, he can't be if he's in control of all things. I'm like, all right, well, is he worth worshiping then if he's not in charge of all things and he's not benevolent?
Okay.
Well, maybe there's still this hell thing, but then again, I'm not entirely sure this hell thing exists because this whole hell thing exists because of the Bible. And even when we look at the Bible historically and textually, I'm like, I'm pretty sure hell's not actually what we think hell is actually like. Talking about Gehenna and Sheol and stuff. Totally. And I'm like, hell is no different. I basically believe that hell is annihilation, which is no different from what atheists believe. It's basically lights out. You're done.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm like, so, all right, I don't believe in hell anymore. And so now it's just me and Jesus. This is cool. I'm like, but now what's the point? Am I just trying to live a good philosophically sound life?
Yeah.
I was going somewhere else with that too, but it's just like, it just became unnecessary. And I've put all this effort into this relationship with Jesus, because I would have never told you it was a religion. I've always told people, hey, this is a straight up relationship.
Right.
I did not make a single decision unless I prayed about it. I'm like, okay, not every decision, but pretty much every decision I made was based upon how does this promote the glory of God and the gospel to make disciples.
Totally.
That was what I lived and died for.
Yeah.
And then I realized, I'm like, I've had a couple interesting experiences, but nothing that couldn't really be rationalized outside of, psychological things that's happened to me. And nothing that is an experience outside of what other people from other religions have also experienced. And that's why I turned my skeptical thinking cap. And I'm like, is this possible? I am literally just making all this crap up. And then that's why I started thinking about, who Jesus was. I'm like, who is this guy? And I'm like, we cannot know who this Jesus was. The Gospels are not a reliable source for a historical Jesus. This is presuming a Jesus existed. I do believe a Jesus existed. Okay, I'm not full mythicist. Right. Richard Carrier makes some pretty damn good arguments.
I think even most critical scholars would agree that some form of Jesus existed in some kind of form, though, right? Like, I think he's more on the outside of that viewpoint. Whoever you just cited a second ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And there's some great debates about it. So Ehrman debated, Robert Price and Matt Delahante actually moderated that. Hands down, Ehrman won. But Richard Carrier, he's a little bit different. I read his book. Yeah, I read his one textbook, and his knowledge of history and the amount of facts that he puts in there blows anything I've read by Ehrman combined out of the water. Like, it was phenomenal. I've been studying this stuff for several years now, mostly through Ehrman and to other scholars. I have not heard any of this stuff before. And it was so fascinating. I did find his conclusion to be very weak. And I already knew what it was going to be, but I listened to all the audiobook, all 800 pages.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, I already know where he's going with this. He's going to go to Paul knowing Peter and James. And that's exactly what it was. Spoiler alert. And he basically has to rely on Paul lying. Like, should we trust this guy? I'm like,
right.
I'm like, right. I mean, I, whatever.
Yeah. Like, I got
I do
you.
Think, I do think Paul was mentally unstable.
Hmm.
I think that's a, there's a very strong case for that. And, but I don't believe we have reason to think that he was lying. We already have like the author of Acts lying for him. So,
right.
I don't, he's already correcting the situation, saying like who he saw and who he did not see. So if we're going to believe him on those things, we need to believe him on who he actually saw.
So here's a question for you. So I'm thinking about like your, you said it maybe 5 minutes ago now, it's a little farther back, but I want to rewind because I want to figure out why for you, it was not even so much like leaving Christianity to maybe just like a deist perspective or even like not agnostic perspective, but more of just this atheist perspective. Because, for example, you mentioned a couple minutes ago that, you know, this idea of like, you know, well, if God is causing good and bad, like that's problematic, which of course I totally agree with you on, it is problematic. But we, and you know this too, there are other positions even in the Christian faith that would hold to a view that, well, no, God is not a Calvinist, ultimately playing both sides of the chessboard, you know, damning some and whatever. So for you, like, what was it that made it was like, okay, I'm not going to be, it's not agnostic. I'm not a deist. There's, I'm going to believe that probably there's most likely nothing out there going on besides the natural world.
So a big thing is my former apologetics as a Christian, I had already written everything else off as impossible. So like looking at Islam, looking at, you know, Buddhism, and which Buddhism has been really interesting as an atheist, by the way. I have a completely different perspective on it now as an atheist than I did as a Christian. It's really fascinating.
Isn't it a very atheistic religion in a sense? Like the idea, I mean, of like you are it.
Yeah. I mean, so I've read two books by the Dalai Lama so far, and or about him at least. One was about him, one was about him.
Okay.
And it's been interesting. I mean, they believe in like, you know, reincarnation and all, and other spiritual things. So sure. Like, eh, whatever, and they use these really good sound arguments, but then they support these spiritual aspects, or these spiritual aspects to support these arguments. I'm like, why? It's not necessary. Like, it's just good stuff. Like, anyway, so that's a little frustrating. But that's not answering your question. But like, so when I look at these different areas of Christianity, I'm just kind of like, again, it's just unnecessary. I mean, if I'm gonna believe in a God who wants to have a relationship with me, I'm here. I want to actually have a relationship with me. If he can have, you know, a firsthand account with Moses, if he can have a personal relationship with Elijah, if he can, you know, talk to all these other prophets, why not me? Here I am. If he wants to save me from this hell, if that hell exists,
right,
or if he wants to have a purposeful, meaning relationship with me, let's do it. I needed that. And there was nothing there, absolutely nothing. And so we can have this, you know, ethereal belief of a God up in the sky somewhere.
Sure.
But at the point, I'm just kind of like, I don't see a purpose in that. Whereas I can look at a secular humanist perspective and easily see how beneficial that is for society without the religious baggage. And so it's just like, I just don't see a point. And I tell people every time people ask me this, you know, it's like, I'm still open to God coming down here or Jesus coming down here and saying, hey, Will, it's me. I'm Jesus. I'd be like, okay, Jesus, 1 second, don't go anywhere. Let me get my camera. Let me grab some people. Let's film this shit. Okay. We're going to have some questions for you. I got a lot of questions.
I'm
for
going
you.
IG live.
Okay. But even then, like, let's just say like God is pops.
Right.
He makes himself known to every single person. That doesn't mean I'm going to worship this God. It means like, okay, we now know a God exists, but just because a God exists doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to bend the knee to this God. Like, there needs to be a reason why we should quote unquote worship this God or love this God.
Right. Okay.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
all that. So let's play a fun game. I'm going to be the fundamentalist like Christian throwing the typical lines that I've heard thrown at atheists. And I'll let you just swing away. I'm gonna just give you the softballs, and you can just right out of the park. All right.
All right.
So let's see the first one. But Will, I mean, if there's no God to give you ultimate morality, where do you get morality from? I don't get it. Why don't you want to just kill people all the time? How does that work? All right, go ahead, Will.
Well, first off, there's not a whole lot of secular humanists out there killing people. for those who want to cite Saul and Amal. Like, yes, they were technically atheists, but they're also, you know, totalitarian communists. So
right.
That's what dictated their morality. And the other thing is, like, as an atheist, so it's all right, I'm going to give two quick answers. Great. All right. Well, okay, I'm going to try again. Two quick answers. one quick answer is, for a Christian, God dictates everything. Like, if you're believing it's this God who's omnipresent, omnipotent, like, you literally cannot escape this God. He is like North Korea dictator on steroids. You cannot, he is 1984 thought crime, everything. You cannot escape this God. So literally any decision you make is going to be influenced, quote unquote, by this God, or this God's going to have an opinion on it.
Okay.
With an atheist, this is like, there's no God. Okay. So I don't have that influence. It's really weird. Like that vacuum opening up. It was super strange. My wife and I had some very interesting conversations, But I also asked that person, do you like to be punched in the face? No. I'm like, okay, cool. Believe it or not, I don't like to be punched in the face either. Now, I'm not going to punch you in the face because I know how that makes me feel. And I like to use Fight Club as an example. Unless you're a person of Fight Club, you're probably not going to be punched in the face, which I would think would probably correlate to about 99% of the people on the earth. Hmm. We can probably unanimously agree it's not a good idea to punch people in the face. Mm. Did I need a God to tell me that? Mm. No. Sorry, Jesus. Turn the cheek. Now, do we need a God to say turn the cheek? Maybe. But is there a purpose to turn the cheek? It's a little extreme for me, for my taste. So instead of turning cheek, I'm just going to be like, hey, I'm going to walk away because I don't want to retaliate against this person. And that's more of a Buddhist perspective. Mm. Another boost, and another thing, by the way, that whole golden rule was originally from Confucianism, which was then adopted by Buddhism, which was then adopted by Jesus. Hmm. So that doesn't originate from Jesus, by the way.
Fair enough.
Although he did kind of like take that from Judaism too, which is still later than Confucianism. But anyways, sorry, I'm getting on a rant here.
No, you're good.
So my morality comes from the law of empathy. If I don't want to be treated this way, I'm going to presume that person doesn't want to be treated that way. And because I know not everyone is like me, I'm going to try to treat them better than myself.
Okay, got it. Let's take that one step deeper, okay? So at this point, I'm really just kind of curious myself to hear your answers because I'm thinking about this as well, kind of in real time here. So I thought I had was, like one of the big critiques that a lot of us have, especially in the Bible, is that, you know, this God is telling people to go kill other people and wipe out civilizations. If there is no God, right, and that was just from humanity's mind, then like, you know, where's that coming from? Is that just because of selfish reasons? Is that just because, you know, people just want to kill people? Because you're saying that your law is empathy, which I think is great and I would agree with. But obviously we know that not everyone sees it that way throughout human history or even in the world now. Right. So like, what do we do with that? Because I think as a Christian, I could say, well, that's, you know, that's sin or whatever it would be. I'm really, you know, doing really broad strokes here, but you get my point. But for an atheist, like what do you say that is? Like, oh, they're just selfish? Like there's just, I don't know. That's just how they are.
I mean, I do believe people are selfish. I want to do good. I want to take care of myself.
Right. Right.
Like, but at the exact same time, I also know I'm one person now, 7 billion people.
Right.
So if I give the middle finger to all 7 billion people, that's not going to be good for me.
Right. Right.
So there's, I gotcha. Yeah. there's some give and take here. Especially with the more inner circle, the more interact with people, it's like being altruistic makes you feel good.
Right.
I don't know why. It has something to do with evolutionary things. I'm not sure. How to describe it. I think Dawkins talks about that a lot in the selfish gene, I think.
Right.
but I think going back to what you said, it's like, it's also very relative. I'm very egalitarian globally. Now, is excuse me. I'm trying to think. I just lost the word here. is morality objective
right.
or is it subjective?
Right.
I would say that it's most definitely subjective. Even as a Christian, even as a fundamentalist Christian, I believe it was subjective.
Right.
You only got to read the Bible to realize that, you know, Christianity in itself is very subjective and that is always changing.
Yes.
Now, I would have said that God has, we can't know what God wants perfectly, but we can try to get to it. As an atheist, it's very similar. I think we have objective goals that we can try to obtain, but that's going to look different from different people in different contexts. Egalitarianism is just like a way to like reset everything. Because different people in different situations in different countries and different climates and cultures are going to need different things.
Right.
And so,
right.
And morality is very much linked to happiness and our needs. And so when our needs are met, we're generally pretty happy.
Yeah.
Makes sense. You know, it's amazing how much happier and content I was, you know, working for, you know, having a 40-hour a week job with health benefits, making pretty good money versus when I was, you know, a starving artist and photographer.
Yeah.
You know, with no health benefits, making a lot less than what I was and working a heck of a lot more. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it was quote unquote fulfilling.
Right.
But trust me, it's like 10 times out of 10, I'm going to pick the 9 to 5.
Totally.
That's just for me personally, because I wasn't very good at running a business.
No, I get that. I did.
And so, but again, like if you take a successful photographer and give them the skills that they need to do that for them, that makes them happy. For the person who has other desires and does not want all that stress, like that is going to be a completely different thing. So that's subjective, but the goal is still objective.
Yeah.
Like that is to bring happiness and equality to all people.
Okay. That makes sense. I appreciate answering that. All right. Let's do another one. These are fun. Let's see. Okay. But Will, if you're an atheist now, where do you get your purpose in life? I mean, isn't your life just now meaningless because you're going to die and none of this will ever matter again because you're just slime on the planet who's evolved?
Yeah, all right, so these are pretty good softball ones, and yeah, so I actually have more purpose now as a non-Christian. I am not, you know, I'm not missing words there. When I was a Christian, I did not live in the present. Everything I did was for the future kingdom to come. Everything I did was for the next life. Everything I did as a Christian was to lay crowns at Jesus' feet. And to get to a quote unquote higher level of heaven, depending upon if people have that doctrine or not, or
sure,
you know, but to have a better afterlife.
Right.
As an atheist, the Gothic side, as I call it, is down. And I'm realizing, okay, not only did I just kind of waste the last, not necessarily waste, but have the last 20 years of my life being served for someone else, and now I have autonomy back. I'm like, holy crap, I'm 36 years old. Hopefully I've only lived about a third of my life and I got 2/3 left and I want to make the most out of that. Like, because there may be an afterlife. I don't know. I can't prove that. But the thing is I know I have this life here and now. And did that really freak me out? Like, it was scary because I'm like, okay, I have this life. Every single breath and every single minute counts. And it's amazing how much more time I spend meditating now too. Just kind of have that peace of mind, because if I'm trying to find purpose in every single thing, I'm going here and there, I'm not catching anything.
Right.
But if I just, you know, chill the F out, breathe.
Yeah.
Hey, and just know that I have consciousness. That's a mind blowing concept right there.
Yeah.
In this amazing world, in this culture right here that we live in.
Right.
Like this is a life. And I was throwing that away. To serve a God and also 10% of my income. I was actually one of those Christians that tithes.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I got my wife in there. I got my two birds. I mean, I'm going to have a nice job here in a couple of weeks. I'm starting back up again.
That's great.
I mean, this is it. This is amazing. And I actually love it. And it's a little bit more lonely now because I don't have the social structure that I had before. But it's a lot more honest now, and I'm a pursuer of truth.
Let's continue that little thing, that little nugget you just dropped about your social life, because that's interesting to me. So I'm assuming if you grew up or was in the church world deeply, right, now you have this moment, this come to Jesus, non-Jesus moment, right, where you're like, okay, this is no longer for me. And honestly, you don't seem like you're... I mean, I don't know you that well, but in this interview, you don't seem very militant. Like, I'm going to destroy my friend's faith now. You know, I'm assuming you're like, yeah, like we can coexist. Did you get that from your friends? Do you still have friends who are Christians? Like, how did that all kind of work out?
I've learned that people are humans, and it doesn't matter what their religion is. It depends upon what type of person they are.
Hmm.
I've had, you know, I encounter atheist assholes. One of the reasons why my account's on Instagram right now is shadow banned is because an atheist, you know, freaking reported me in one of my stories because I shared one of his comments in my stories and told atheists not to act like this. And then so Instagram reported it. And now I've been shadow banned for over 2 weeks now, which is super annoying.
Yeah.
So then, but when it comes to Christians, you know, it just depends upon the person. Some are very fundamentalists. Some people, like, I don't talk to a single person from my old church anymore, from my fundamentalist church. Like, they excommunicated me a long time ago.
Right. I would expect that coming from a fundamentalist background.
There's some people that haven't completely cut ties with me, but they've unfriended me on Facebook, and I definitely don't hear from them anymore. People from my mega church down here, I still talk to some of them. One of them actually lives in my community here that I live in. We actually had Thanksgiving with them, but we haven't really talked to them very much because we weren't very close with them.
Right.
But hopefully we can fix that. But the other thing is because of COVID, like, everything's shut down.
Right.
It's like we became atheists, or I became atheist like a month or two before COVID hit.
Right.
And now I was actually trying to go on Meetup, looking up all these humanist groups, and then all of a sudden everything got canceled.
Yeah.
So that's annoying. But, different Christians respond different ways. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of how empathetic the person is.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because what you said is so accurate. I have definitely found people respond differently no matter what group they're in. You know, I've had, like you said, I have friends who are on the atheist side and they're nice as pie. And I have some friends who are Christians who I'm like, dude, we got to talk about like your attitude because it sucks. Like, you're just on Facebook, you're that guy that I just can't. Mm-hmm. I can't be around anymore unless something changes. You know, you're mm-hmm. hurting people. So I do find that to be true. You know, I don't know. I'm just kind of like listening to your story, and it's really, I mean, it's a very, I'm not going to say unique. I'm sure people have gone through the journey you've gone through, but like, it is definitely on my end as a still in this Jesus circle. Like, I really actually empathize and relate to a lot of like the questions you're asking, and even some of the conclusions, frankly, that you've come to, especially around the Bible. I've watched most recently I watched Bart Ehrman versus Daniel Wallace. That was a great debate. Man. I loved it.
There's two of them, actually.
Okay, so I've only watched one, and I have like an hour left. But man, both of their I like debates because they really give you the perspective of like, wow, at least for me, where I tend to land with that kind of stuff is like, okay, Bart makes great points. And I'm like, man, Daniel makes great points. And I'm like, I don't know what to believe. I'm just so torn, you know? So I really empathize a lot with your journey. So what do you think, like, your Instagram account, right? How long ago did you start it?
So it would be by almost, so November of 2019.
Okay.
So year and a half.
You have 13,000 followers, which is awesome. Have you gotten a lot of people in your messages like, hey, I was also a Christian at one point and I deconstructed all the way out to atheism. Like, what kind of messages do you get on average?
All kinds.
Yeah.
All kinds.
Yeah.
You know, I get but a lot of them is just Bible questions. A lot of people are asking me like questions that I tell them like, I did not have an answer for this.
Right.
Like, someone was asking me a question about sexuality and people being super straight. And I'm like, I run a theology page.
Right.
Like, I literally cannot I'm a heterosexual cisgender white guy.
Right.
I literally cannot comment to this.
Right.
I can say like, hey, you know, people are attracted to whoever attracted, and I think we should be careful how we label people. That's literally what I told the person.
Right. Right.
So one of the things that I've learned a lot about writing this page is if you don't know what you're talking about, don't say anything.
Yep.
Like, or even better, learn.
Yes.
So I've had to learn a lot, like, especially about like, when it comes to, purity culture and, you know, gender, like, gender has been a huge thing for me to learn, and just learning like the correct verbiage and the correct words, like
same
pronouns and stuff like that. And I would have told myself 2 years ago that I was woke.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I now it's just like, no, this is good. This is good for me to learn these things.
Yes,
and
yes.
If anything, just educate myself.
Totally.
I get all sorts of messages and things like that too. And yeah, it's encouraging, because it gives me, it reminds me about why I'm doing what I'm doing. But man, it's also heartbreaking at the same time, because you know, my church was a fundamentalist church, but there's some other people that's gone through some serious crap. And I'm like, man, I'm so lucky. Yeah. Or talk to Christians, Christians in like a Middle Eastern country with a Christian family where Christianity is already like danger zone.
Yep.
Who are then losing their faith and becoming atheists. Oof. That I'm just like, wow. Okay. So one, you're already on top of the lot for being a Christian in that nation.
Right.
And now you're becoming an atheist within your Christian family, within that Muslim nation.
Right.
Yikes. What do you do with that?
Right. Right. Yep. I haven't gotten that exact message, but I've gotten quite a few stories like you have as well. And you're just like, oh my gosh, like what do I do with this? And I find that people, for some reason, I think over DMs and when they're anonymous or more anonymous, they share things that they, you know, I'm sure you've gotten, I haven't told anyone this before, but this thing happened. You're like, oh my God, like what an honor and also what a responsibility it is to have people telling you this stuff and handling it. Like you said, kind of always learning, because I've also found for myself running this account, I've had to ask more questions and say, I'm sorry more often, because it wasn't intentional. And that if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But especially when it comes to gender and, you know, correct verbiage, it's been such a learning experience. So I'm with you on that. What do you think the future is, Will, of like the Christian church and like, you know, atheism coinciding together? Right. Cause I feel like right now we've really allowed, not we, but like the, our two big groups, respectively, they're kind of at war with each other, I feel like, you know, like some apologist has a debate with someone, some atheist writes a book, and, you know, all the soldiers get on Instagram or Facebook and they're just in the comments war. Oh, well, you suck. Well, you're stupid. Well, you're godless, whatever. You know, like how do we move forward together? Because you and I obviously are not going to agree on some, maybe even some fundamental beliefs about why we're here or why we're functioning. But we also agree on some pretty fundamental key things like the humanity in each other and respect and dialogue and moving forward. So what does that look like for you?
Well, I don't think religion is going to go anywhere, unfortunately. So even when you look at the research, atheism and anons are growing numerically, but percentage-wise, they're going to be going down. With Islam growing and Christianity kind of just, you know, floating and staying the same. I do see Christianity, and well, all religion in general, becoming more reasonable. I know that sounds condescending as fuck, so I apologize.
It's okay.
But I do see them becoming less fundamentalist in their beliefs.
Yep.
Becoming more humanitarian. That's a more appropriate way for me to say it. To where they're like, you know, I might have a certain belief, but they'll realize I don't have justification for a lot of these beliefs, like LGBTQ people going to hell.
Yeah.
Just because of who they naturally are. And so even if I do have this belief, hopefully they realize that there's not enough justification for it, that they're going to discriminate against other people. And then they'll at least stop, you know, acting out on that belief. Granted, I would love if they got rid of that belief altogether, because it's complete bullshit. And I have quite a few Bible posts about that. Why? on a textual note. But I also see as the majority of Christianity specifically gets more humanitarian focus, I can also see that fringe group, that fundamentalist crew becoming more tightly wound. And I think we're already seeing that.
Yes, we are. I've been following closely. And some of those guys are really like, I mean, there's a book coming out by a pretty well-known person in that group. Vodi Bachman wrote a book, and it's called Fault Lines. And it's pretty much all about how, you know, the new social justice, whatever, is just Marxism and socialism. And it's already gotten like all this, you know, publicity in their circles. And he's on all these big podcasts because this is what they want to hear. They want proof that yes, anything that isn't our fundamentalist worldview is Satan. It's Marxist. It's godless. So you're completely correct on that, 100%.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go on record. One, well, I do definitely lean more liberal now. I'm definitely more of a libertarian. And I'm definitely not a socialist.
Yes. So,
heads up to anyone listening.
No, but you know, my point is like that kind of slur. It's like, you know, socialism, there are just things that are just thrown against the wall. And it's like, I don't even subscribe to that ideology.
Well, it's interesting how politicized religion has gotten. I think that's it's not even religion anymore. It's like something worse. It's a hybrid of fundamentalism religion with extreme political viewpoints.
Yeah.
And we see that happen with Trump. Yep. And there was some sort of marriage there between these two ideologies. Yeah. And it is dangerous. It is a secular humanist's worst nightmare. Because it has political ramifications.
Yep.
And it's fueled by social religious nonsense.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous.
Honestly, I could not agree with you any more strongly on almost everything you just said. And I really believe, especially just reading some light American history, the seeds for what we saw in 2016 were planted in the 80s, planted in the 60s with the Moral Majority, the Jerry Falwells of the world, and the harvest, to use some Christian language, that we're reaping as an evangelical church. It's terrible. I mean, it's rotten to the core, frankly. And like you said, both of us saw 2016 and were like, what the hell is going on with this faith that, you know, I claim to give my life to? Like, what is happening? So I'm with you 100%. And I'm hoping that, I mean, I'm hoping, I don't know what the future will hold, but I'm hoping that, like you said, Christians become much more humanitarian and much more humanist in a lot of ways. You know, recognizing that if we do believe that the image of God is stamped on every single human being, then that means that they're all worthy of dignity, respect, love, and freedom. I mean, frankly, you know, so I'm hoping that we get there. I don't know though, but I certainly hope so.
Yeah. It'd be definitely nice for sure. But the issue is it's kind of like, I'm actually pro labels. If you're a person describing who you are, I'm okay with labels. Like, I don't mind labeling myself as an atheist because that's me trying to show people to give them an understanding of who I am. I understand the dangers of me saying you're a such and such, like,
yeah,
that is me categorizing you and putting into a box and within stereotypes. That can be dangerous. When it comes to fundamentalist religions, I have, or at least within Christianity, I have one really simple definition for fundamentalism, and that is a person who replaces reality with their own. And if their their beliefs causes them to do that, they are dangerous, in my opinion. So a very simple example would be a person who believes that the Bible is inerrant. And if you're a Christian listening and you believe the Bible is inerrant, I'm not sorry. You're a dangerous person because we know for a fact the Bible is not the inerrant word of God. We have no originals. I don't need to get into all that stuff, but we know there are errors in the Bible. We know that there are gross errors in the Bible. And to say that this is some supposed word of God, that is to completely turn off all reality and to replace it with your own. It's indoctrination, more than likely. And you can have all sorts of gymnastics to justify the cognitive dissonance with what a supposed word of God looks like and what you actually have in your hand. But I'm sorry, please challenge that beliefs and think critically and look at the text and come to the conclusion that while there might be some truth in that Bible, that does not necessarily mean it is the quote unquote word of God. And I really hope if people listen anything who are listening to this podcast, that they really think critically because that really screwed my relationship with God quite a bit. And also I end up as an atheist, but but like you said, I have, over 10,000 followers, and most of them are not atheists. Yep. I did a poll not too long ago. Most of them are theists of some sort or Christian, and they understand this about the Bible. So that's my little PSA
there.
That's
great. When I shared one of your posts about a week ago, several people messaged me, I follow him too, and they are definitely some form of Christian somewhere, and they all said the same thing. It's challenging, it's thought-provoking, I enjoy following him. So you're definitely right. All right, last kind of fun question. Well, not fun, but just a little more like, I guess, tongue in cheek, you know, I'm not sure if you can really answer this, but so something I've thought about is, because you, like you, I also grew up and was in a very fundamentalist upbringing. And whenever you leave something, it is easy to go to the other extreme of the fundamentalism of the other side. You know what I mean? Like this, like, no, this is definitely it, right? So kind of a two-part question. One, are you concerned about becoming a fundamentalist atheist at all, given that you've already been on one side of it? And number two, do you think that there's ever, as far as you can tell, any possibility you'll come back to some theistic framework in your lifetime?
The answer to number two is super easy, and that's no, unless this guy shows up.
Okay.
It's simple. Like, I know a lot of people like to talk about divinity. A lot of the Christians that I still follow, that we're cool with each other for the most part, but they'll say like, divinity is within me. I just cringe so badly at that. I'm like,
that's me.
I'm sorry.
I'm not offended. That, it's fine.
Like, it's not hurting anybody.
Right.
But I'm just like, why? Like, what's the point of saying that? You're your own God. Awesome. You're an atheist. And so, like, that's pretty much my opinion. You're calling yourself something other than God. Anyways. So unless, like I said, I already told you my criteria for me to believe in a God. He needs to come down here and introduce himself, you know, get that shit on camera, then we can talk.
Right.
But the first question is, you know, fundamentalism. Yes. So I think there's definitely something to that. There's a reason why a lot of Catholics, when they leave Catholicism, they're just kind of like, whatever. There's a lot of Catholics who just stay whatever because they're Catholic and they never really leave Catholicism. But there is definitely a pendulum swing. And I think it has to do with more personality than anything else. I think personality types are drawn to different types of groupthink.
Definitely.
And I'm aware of this. Like, I'm a huge pursuer of truth, and I thought I had it. I thought I knew it. I thought I knew the person who wrote the truth. You can't get better than that, right?
Right, right.
And then when I realized I was wrong, like, that was earth-shattering. Like, my entire perspective on reality was completely shattered. Like, it was, you know, waking up out of the Matrix. I'm like, holy crap, the earth is not 6,000 years old. Holy crap, there is not a God dictating or monitoring every single thought in my life. This is bizarre. What am I going to do?
Right.
And so what do? I kept on pursuing truth. And as an atheist, you know, I don't 100% support the deconstructing community anymore because of the whole divinity thing. Like, I was trying to respect people who were in that area, and I still respect them. Like, also, we're having this conversation.
Right.
But I'm also very much a secularist now.
Right.
And I cannot encourage a person, hey, keep on doing that as long as you're not doing harm. Because in a sense, I still find that logically harmful. I find it harmful for a person to believe in something without evidence. If you just want to say, hey, you step back and like, hey, I'm going to take on faith. Like, I guess I can't really argue about that, but I do find that so harmful, because if you're going to believe that without evidence, you know, without much reason, I'm sure you have your reasons or else you want to do it.
Right.
But without, in my opinion, critical reasoning and things that can be proven, you know, via science, you know, within this realm of reality, then I don't know what else you can be convinced of. And that to me is yikes. I don't know where that can go. And so if I want to promote critical thinking, I'm going to be doing more damage and more harm in the short term, at least, to these people who are in that deconstruction community, in which they may not find me very safe.
Right.
So hopefully that makes sense.
It does.
So I don't know how I got on that, but coming back. So I was a very angsty atheist for several months, and then I kind of chilled out. Now I'm just kind of like, if there is no evidence for it, I'm not going to believe it. And if it's this, you know, Carl Sagan, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. You're saying that there's a God and there's divinity within you. Cool. That's going to require a heck of a lot of evidence for me to believe that. Otherwise, I think you're just labeling something as divinity and calling it divinity when it's really just your consciousness and your own psychology. So I do believe that it's easy to swing from fundamentalist to atheism, because we are so like enamored with the idea of truth and that pursuit of truth. Like, we want to know things.
Yeah.
I ended up being an atheist because I realized how much I cannot possibly know. That's why I'm atheist. It's not that because I have learned that there is no God.
Right.
And I can't know that. Right. But it's because I just simply don't know.
Hmm.
And there were so many things I was so certain of and so convinced of and confident in as a theist. And I realized I have no grounds for believing any of this at all. And so that's why I'm like, well, okay. I don't look at atheism as a complete swing against theism. I look at it as like resetting the foundation from the ground up. I'm like, okay, you know, people have this house, this theistic house. Mm-hmm. It got completely bulldozed for me. Some people like to salvage a kitchen or whatever. I don't really care. For me, I'm like, no, I was convinced of things that were not true. And I convinced myself that they were true. And so now I need to really, I need to test everything. I need to doubt everything. I need to question everything. And if something is true, I'll lay that brick down and then another brick. And then I'll build a foundation back up. But until I have reason to believe something, I'm not going to put that brick there.
All right. I get that. I understand it. And I respect it. And I appreciate that you're honestly, I mean, I think it takes, some people will, you know, who maybe will come on, like they'll try and, you know, be like, not that you're being like rude or being actually very polite and nice, but they're kind of screwed around like the issue, you know, like, well, maybe not you, Tim, but I appreciate that you're like, no, like Tim, like I disagree about this whole divinity thing. I'm like, you know what? I respect that because now I know where you stand, you know where I stand, and we can coexist, you know, like we can coexist. So I appreciate you, Will, taking time, you know, to come, you know, on the show to explain your perspective, your views, how you got to where you are. I think that if people are listening, you know, that I'm sure they're taking away things that are like, wow, this is really thought provoking. I have to do some more digging. You know, I would imagine people who are maybe deconstructing, a lot of times they do deconstruct right from the Bible first. It's kind of the first thing to go. Like, what is this book that I've been told is God's direct black and white word to me? So
with some red,
depending on the translation, right? So I do hope that that people look into Bart Ehrman and watch some of these debates, because I'm a big fan of it personally, just like you, of the debates. They're so great. You get so much knowledge out of them. You get to hear two perspectives right alongside each other, and I think that really helps people move forward. So thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you doing that. Anything you want to plug? You know, where can people find you? Where can they follow you? Go for it.
Yeah, so I'm mostly just on Instagram. I'm probably gonna be a lot less active once I start my job, but I'm still gonna be on there. I'm on Clubhouse on occasion, but essentially that's it. Instagram and Clubhouse. I did just start a buy me a coffee thing because people were literally asking like, I want to send you money. I'm like, guys, I have a wonderful job, and then I got unemployed. so I'm like, I'm putting my screen time on my phone is disgustingly horrible.
You don't got to tell me, my friend. I get it.
And I'm like, this is pathetic. Oh my gosh, I need to get a job. Yeah. And then I'm like, you know what? People are wanting to ask or literally just asking how they can support me. If you want to go to my Instagram page, click on my link in bio. Perfect. You can buy me a cup of coffee. And that makes me so happy. Right. That's it. My Instagram and I'm not even really on Clubhouse anymore. I'm on there. It was cool for a hot minute for me, but I don't know. There's just something about spending hours and hours on something and then not having that data recorded or anything. Yeah. So I'm just like,
I did like two
I like conversations.
Yeah,
I like conversations. It's nice, but
I like conversations. Yeah. Well, I know that you often go IGTV live with like someone who is maybe still a Christian or, you know, whatever, and you like have a really good dialogue. So, well, there you have it, folks. Definitely check out. I'll make sure I put your link in the show notes for you, Will. That way people can click on it right there and hit that follow button. So, but again, Will, I appreciate you coming on. It means a lot that you would do this. And of course, I wish you the best. So thank you.
You too, bro. Thanks so much for a great conversation.
Absolutely.